Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
What's up, South Bay? Hey! Come on. As the hashtag goes, South Bay all day. I see that in every post from your pastors. They're all about that, all about that. Man, good to be here. I'm so excited. Yo, the hype is real about South Campus, y'all. Man, I love it. You guys can grab a seat. So honored to be here. And my wife, Katie, my beautiful wife down here in the front. Hey, you're not waving your hand high enough. They can't tell who I'm talking about. Yeah. You're just going to have to guess who my wife is. She wasn't lifting her hand high enough. That's all good. Hey. Man, we're excited to be here. This is so fun. And our daughters are over there sliding on the 12-story play area. Pastor Jer and I earlier, he said, I challenge you to go down that green slide. I said, yeah, challenge accepted, 100%. So I will be posting later the video I took while I was sliding down that slide. And, man, it was such a good time. And we love your pastors. Pastor Jer and Emma are two of the best humans on the planet. When we first came down here to San Diego, and, you know, you're looking for your crew, right? Your people to hang with, to belong to. And in the very beginning, they were the first couple that reached out to us, invited us in. First, it was a little 2 years ago for Halloween, and invited us over to do some trick-or-treating. And we got to the house that we were meeting up at. They weren't even there yet. I was like, hey. Drew and Emma invited us. They're like, oh, okay, cool. Come on in. They actually thought we were trick-or-treating at first when we walked up to the door. And actually, we're here to hang out, I think, if this is the right house. So, but they have been warm and welcoming and have always just included us into the family. And you know what? That's what I love about them. That's what I love about us as C3. Let's keep being that. Let's be the church that opens up our arms, invites people in. Let's be including. Let's never let somebody hang out by themselves. Everyone getting a connect group is so important, right? Have fun together. Eat some food together. I'll tell you what, that's one of the things I love about C3. We eat a lot. We do. We believe in it. Jesus believed in it. We believe in it. All right? I'm going to get into the word in just a second. Before I do, I want to give a shout-out to somebody that is awesome here. Like Pastor Drew said, I have the privilege of authoring the book Following Jesus that we give out. But I always wanted to translate it into as many languages as possible. And so the first language that I wanted to, because I love this language, as I said, I want to get it translated into Spanish, right? My mom was a missionary in New Mexico City years back, and so it's always been dear to my heart. And I said, okay, I got to get it translated. So I reached out to Pastor Jurgen and said, hey, I want to get it translated. Who do you think I should ask? He said, call Drew and Emma. I said, all right. They may have some connections. I text them. I said, yo, do you know anybody who might know how to translate from English to Spanish? They said, we might have some options for you. I said, all right. And so that person they referred me to right away was Donna Hernandez. Where are you at, Donna? I want Donna to come over here. I gotta show some love. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. She translated this book from English to Espanol, ladies and gentlemen. The best in the biz. Hey! Okay. Besides Jesus' name, hers and mine are the only other names in this book. Hello. Here, I'm gonna get a photo. Let's get a legit photo here. Yeah. Okay, before you go down, here's the deal. When I first reached out, she goes, oh, man, absolutely. I was thinking about translating it already. I said, that's called plagiarism. You need to ask me first. She said, it's all good. It was for her mom who had just recently come to Christ. I thought, oh, my gosh. It was like, hey, I said, first thing, who cares how many other people and someday maybe get a benefit from this translation? Number one, this is about translating it for mom. And so it's just this beautiful exchange of what God was doing, right? So he did that, and then other churches began to use it, and it's been fun to see. But then little did either one of us know what God was about to set up, but because she was faithful to serve and to bring her gift and to offer to help translate this into, what's it called now?
Siguiendo a Jesús.
Siguiendo a Jesús. Jesus, okay. I was going to preach in Spanish and have her translate to English, but today I'm going to stick with English. So then an opportunity came. A friend of mine who runs, it's called Mission Me, and they do this event called One Nation, One Day. They've done it in several countries now where they just try to infiltrate a whole nation in one like week, and then finally one day. They've done several Spanish-speaking nations, and this next one they were about to do was in Nicaragua. And I was talking to the guy. He goes, I love your English version of Following Jesus. I wish it was in Spanish. And I said, guess what? It is. Okay? And then we found a local printer there to be able to really distribute as many as possible. Here at C3 San Diego, as a church, we help participate to massively invest in to see it happen. So because I just want to show you a quick photo, we had a custom cover made for the event, and then you could see some street witnessing that happened, and then these rallies all over the nation. We saw over 100,000 people get discipled because of the faithfulness of this incredible woman right here. Come on, C3, let's give it up for Donna. Hey!
You're the best. Thank you.
Wow. And that 100,000 is going to turn into multiple hundreds of thousands. And over the course of the history of the nation of Nicaragua, we're going to see millions and millions come to Christ and be discipled. Amen? Way to go. What a beautiful couple you guys are. Just love your spirit, love your heart. And okay, man, now I have 5 minutes to preach. Let's go. Let's pray, and then we'll get into it. Thank you, Jesus, Jesus, for your presence. Sorry, just easy to go back and forth for me. Okay. Sorry, God, come back. I'm in a serious moment of prayer. Jesus, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing already. Thank you for what you've begun in our time of worship. That you always promise to meet us in these moments. You always promise to come close, and we thank you for that. God, thank you for what you're doing. Lord, teach us your word. Holy Spirit, reveal it to us in a fresh way. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 7. I asked my daughter, Mercedes, what I should preach on. She said, Noah's Ark. And I said, wow, that's confirmation because that's what I'm preaching on. So there we go. So Genesis chapter 7, I'll get to that in one moment. This is a scenario where God is asking a man and his family to do something that's never been done before because he basically has to reset planet Earth. It's gone so far away from godliness. It's gotten so far away from truth. It's gotten so off track that God has to reset the planet. And he uses a man named Noah. It says that Noah found favor in his eyes. Now, Noah was about 500 years old, right? That's a long time, right? He's about 500 years old, and God picks him and says, I need you to build a boat. I need you to build an ark. And many of us have maybe heard the story, so it's not totally unusual, but we got to remember, this was not a normal thing. There was no big flooding and raining that was ever a part of planet Earth back then. That's why we lived so long back then. Our Earth was actually covered with this massive kind of layer of water that protected us from the sun, so we did not fade out as quickly because of the sun rays. So it was this scene, dew came from the earth, there was no big raining situation happening. So God says, hey, I'm going to flood the earth, and Noah's like, all right, I'll do it, but he's doing something that seems crazy to his culture. It seems unheard of in his situation, but in faith, he trusts God, he decides, okay, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to begin the work, and starts building the ark, and they start making the preparations, and it takes a long time, and finally, we see here, it's kind of culminates where it's all getting ready to go down. The flood's going to come, the rain's going to come. In Genesis chapter 7, starting verse 6, it says, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of the clean and unclean animals, birds, And of all the creatures that move along the ground, male and female came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. Verse 11, in the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the deep burst forth, and the flood gates of heaven were opened, and the rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So this is the culmination of it where the floodwaters come, but I felt the Holy Spirit kind of stir a portion of that verse that I hadn't really noticed before a little while back, and it's verse 10, and if we're not careful, we can quickly move past it. Let's go back and remind ourselves what it says. Verse 10, it says, and after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. Think about it. Wait a second. They build the ark. They get the animals in there. They get the family in there. They shut the door. And now they're in there for 7 days and nothing happens. Nothing's happening. Wow. Wow. 7 days. Day one would have been all right. They're getting acclimated, getting used to it, getting used to the smells. You know what I mean? With all those animals. It's all good though. But by day two, the kids are already asking, are we there yet? You know what I'm saying? How many got kids in the road trip situation, right? You know, the struggle is very real, right? God gives us children to teach us things. Things we don't often want to know, but he does it anyways, you know? Like patience, perseverance, prayer, you know, things, all these kind of things. But anyway, so Noah's in the ark. He's got his kids and the offspring, and they're doing their thing, and they got all the animals, and you got to imagine day two's coming, and they're probably starting to go, okay, where's the clouds? Where's the rain? There's not a mist happening. There's no sound of thunder that's beginning to happen. It's just nothing. Nothing. What do you do when nothing's happening? What do you do when no rain is showing up? God said, I'm sending rain. There's no rain. Day three goes by. Day four goes by. You got to wonder if maybe Noah and the family are going, hey, this was fun. This was a nice little building project. But your 600, maybe you didn't hear if it was actually God or not. Like, let's just kind of put this whole boat season behind us. Get on with life. This was cute. But there's obviously no rain, so you may have missed something. You got 500 years of earwax that are blocking some things. But, you know, it's just, but they stay in the boat. How do you stay in the boat? How do you maintain faith and trust God even when you don't see rain yet? God said he's going to send rain. God's got promises for us in this room, but we got to stay in faith. You know, a lot of times I think when we think about faith, we think of more big, bold faith moves. More stepping out of the boat kind of moves, sort of like Peter, right? Peter and the disciples, they're cruising across the water, and God does the ultimate unnecessary show-off move. Jesus decides to walk on the water. You know what I mean? He didn't need to do that. There's no point to that other than just like, this will be cool. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to go ahead and do this. You know what I mean? He could have met him on the other side of the boat. He could have even appeared in the boat, but he decides, I'm just going to kind of water walk, do this thing, and just be cool. You know what I mean? So the disciples like, oh my gosh, it's a ghost. Jesus like, it's not. You know what I mean? And then Jesus says, Peter says, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come. Jesus says, come. Zero water walking instructions. He just tells him to come. Peter's like, all right, let's go. He jumps out of the boat. He starts walking on water. This is amazing. It's so cool. It's this powerful faith moment. And we don't know how long he was out there, but he's walking. He literally has a plaque in his house in heaven that says second best water walker. I mean, he's just literally, it's him and Jesus. That's it, right? They've got this sweet privilege. Unless somebody else in here has also done that, that's cool. Let's talk later. But you know what? Jesus and him are doing this amazing miracle situation. Jesus is out there. Peter's out there walking on water with him. But you know what I found is that oftentimes, actually, there's a lot less of those moments, a big step out of the boat, big moves of faith, and a lot more stay in the boat. A lot more Noah situations. A lot more faithfully staying with what God has told you to do, even when you don't see anything happening yet. A lot more Noah and his family in this boat going, come on, God, you said you're going to send rain. Come on, God, you promised. Come on, God, you've directed us in this way, but we don't see anything yet, but I'm going to stay faithful. I won't abandon ship. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to stay in this thing. I'm not going to lose sight of the goodness of God, the promises of God, the word of God. A lot of times it's easier to jump out of the boat than to stay in the boat. To have that Peter moment is like, yes, but staying with it, it's a little different. You know, for Katie and I, just a little over 2 years ago now, we were up in Seattle, part of a great church for about 15 years, and God just began to speak and stir in our hearts to step out and step into a new season and move from there, move the whole family down here to San Diego, begin to serve and learn and grow here and write and minister, the whole deal, right? And in the moment, we're just excited, man, God's speaking. It was kind of like the Jesus to Peter. Jesus says, come. We just felt, man, God's calling us to San Diego. This is it. We're excited. We're jumping on the boat. Even people up in the Northwest, some of them were like, man, this is pretty proud of you guys. This is a big move, moving your whole family down there. I was kind of like, not really. I mean, we heard Jesus. It's all good, right? No big deal. Jesus speaks, I go. That's it. End of story. And I was zero fear until I got a little bit farther away from the boat, right? Because it's one thing to step out of the boat because I was like, all in. Come on. Jesus says, come. I'm going. Let's roll. But then as you get out of the boat, the farther away you get from the safety of that safe, beautiful boat, you start going, wait, was that really Jesus? I mean, there's a lot of wind. So did he say come or did he say hold on? You know what I mean? Did he say wait? Did he say not yet? You know what I mean? Like you start wondering, was that really him? And it's in that moment when you're out of the boat and when you're walking on the water and you're trusting God and you're in the middle of something that God has called you to do, but you don't yet see all of the answers and you don't yet see all of the rain and you don't yet, and nothing's happening, but you go, but I'm going to stay in this thing. I'm not going to abandon ship. I'm not going to lose sight of what God has for us. And it's in those moments that's where the breakthrough comes. It's in those moments of staying with it, not abandoning ship, not losing sight of what God has asked us to do. We got to stay faithful and stay in the boat. Stay faithful. Stay in the boat. What does God call you to do? Stay with it. Don't quit. Right? Well, what if Adam and Eve. What if Noah had said, forget it, we're out, right? You got to stay with it. I want to have that kind of Noah faith. I want to have that seven-day faith that's willing to stay in for 7 days, even though I don't see the rain yet, even though I don't feel it all yet. I'm going to stay in it, God. If you call me, I'm staying with it. I won't abandon ship. I won't quit. I won't stop, right? You know, in some of those beginning months, as we were just kind of getting into the new rhythm, we had left a secure job and came to no job. And so that's always cool. But you know, God was there and he was speaking. It was very clear. And then it became like Peter out on the waves became like the situation where you're navigating, okay, God, we know you've called us, but there's some situations. There's the fridge is getting a little bit emptier than I want. The resources aren't all there like I want. And literally we're talking about, okay, where are we going to, you know, when is the next time we're really gonna, you know, be able to fill this fridge up, hit Costco, hit the grocery store, right? And so we're, you know, just, I mean, maybe I'm the only one who's ever struggled, but not you guys, but that's cool. But you know, it's like you're in the middle of a moment where you're trusting God and you're believing that God spoke and you're walking something out, but you're not seeing all the rain yet. You're not seeing all the situation yet. You're not seeing it all unfold. And you either abandon ship or you say, God, I know what you said and I will stay with it, right? And so in that moment and in those moments, really something that came out of Katie's heart was just this mantra of we trust Jesus. And we're just going to declare that and we're going to stay focused on that no matter what we're facing, if we're feeling discouraged, we're just going to challenge each other, we trust Jesus. And it was one of these we trust Jesus moments. I just put our daughters to bed and Katie's finishing up some dishes. I was still super chauvinist whenever I tell this story. I'm like, also, I'm always like tempted to be like, no, I'm not even gonna say it. Anyway, she's putting away the dishes and I do sometimes as well. But anyways, Cherish rules. Okay, so, you know, after an army of women, I've just been really empowered. You got to be careful up here. You know what I mean? You just got women will start charging the stage. You know what I mean? It's a serious situation. You know, we're just hitting some discouraging news, trying to navigate the financial situation, and we're praying about it, and we're just encouraging each other in this moment, and we're just kind of reminding ourselves, God spoke. God didn't bring us out here to leave us. God's in this thing, right? We're just reminding ourselves of the goodness of God and what he's spoken to us. We're trying to stir up faith and stay in the moment, not abandon ship, but believe that God's still with us and God's got a word. And as we're doing that, I just remind, I said, hey, you know, I'm just kind of speaking faith into the atmosphere. I said, hey, listen, God sent birds to bring food to the prophet in the wilderness. I said, man, if God wants to, he can bring food to our doorstep. You know what I mean? We believe that God's able. He's faithful, right? And so we're going to pray. And so I'm just kind of praying in that moment. And it was one of those tough prayers. You know, when you're fighting for faith, it's not always easy. The enemy's trying to mess with you, trying to sabotage you. And it's like, you got to really lean in. And almost my best way to describe it, because of the phrase slow as molasses, like almost feels like one of those molasses prayers where it just feels like you're walking through some quicksand, something tough, but you're fighting for faith and you're wanting to stay with what God has said. And so we're in one of those moments, and out of nowhere, my daughter's never done this before, but she comes out of her bed, I put her down, and she just smacks me in the butt. And I'm like, what is happening right now? I almost did a get behind me Satan like Jesus did to Peter, but I didn't. Okay, don't call CPS. I just say, get back to bed. Right now. I mean, it was irritating in the moment, and you're trying to fight for everything. And I was just like, oh, in Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to bed. Well, then I get up the next morning, and Jesus does a show-off move, a little bit like walking on the water. He does what only he can do. This photo is what happened. When I walked out my front door, God had prompted somebody to deliver hundreds of dollars of groceries to our doorstep the next morning. Come on, I'll tell you what, God's good. No matter what he said to you, stay faithful, stay in the boat. He's able. He's a provider. Come on. Come on. I mean, God's just good. He's so good. I love it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about how do we develop this seven-day faith a little bit. Let's look, thinking about Noah's life. How do we not abandon ship when we don't see anything? How do we stay in this thing? How do we stay in what God has for us and not lose sight of it? First thing is you see in Genesis 6:9, it refers to Noah as someone who walked with God. Someone who walked with God. So if we're not careful, we can treat Christianity and following Jesus as some sort of ritual where we're checking in to pay our respects to a higher power once a week on Sunday. But that is so not what Jesus designed. That's not the heart of our Father. He wants to be close to us. He wants us to be near to him. I mean, his desire is that we actually walk with him. That Monday through Sunday, every day of the week, there's an exchange that happens between us and God. That there's an actual relationship developing. If you've wondered, here's the heart of God. He wants to be with you. He wants to walk with you. He invites you close. He invites you to follow him. He invites you to spend time with him. He invites you to have a meal with him. This really is Jesus. I'm convinced he can't pass up a meal. He loves food. He's always eating. He's always eating in the Bible. And even one time, he's on this long journey. After he rose from the dead, he had a lot to do. But the people walking with him said, hey, stay and eat. He's like, I got a lot to do. They said, come on. There's going to be barbecue. And he said, okay, I'll stay. And that's a little bit of a loose translation. Mainly they begged him, and he went ahead and stayed. I just think he wants to be with us. Even in the end where there's that classic verse that says, you know, I stand at the door and knock. If maybe you've heard this. If anyone opens up the door, I will come in. But it doesn't just stop there. He actually says, and I will eat with them. Why? Because something happens around the dinner table that's different. Something happens when you're hanging out together. Something happens when you're kind of forced for longer than a good fast food situation to actually have an exchange and share lives together and share a moment. Jesus is actually interested in this kind of walking with us, and it's the overflow of that that allows me to be confident when I don't yet hear the rain when I'm in the boat for 7 days. So Noah had walked with God. Noah was close to God. Noah had a connection with God, so he was able to maintain faith even in the middle when it just felt like nothing was happening yet. Nothing's going on yet. He just knew God was up to something. He had a relationship with God. I mean, Jesus is pretty serious about this being with us thing. If you remember, what did he say in some of his final moments when he was dying on the cross for you and me? He's up on that cross. To his right and to his left, he's hanging between two criminals. Jesus is innocent, but he's taking you and my place up there. He's paying for us, but the people on the side presumably deserve to be there. They have been the worst of criminals to get that kind of torture and that kind of death. You were not just a petty thief. You were the worst of the worst. This was a major punishment as a display. And here they are up there, and imagine, man, you could put these in a category of the worst people, people that you and me would assume like, now these are the real bad people in life. These are the terrorists, so these are whatever. These are the people, and they deserve to be up there. But one of them is cursing Jesus. The other one reaches out in his final moments, and Jesus has kind of got a lot going on in that second. Sort of like paying the whole world's debt, right? So kind of a big deal. But this guy reaches out to Jesus and just says, "Will you remember me when you enter your kingdom? Remember me." He just makes this declaration that I believe you are who you say you are. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe this thing is real. You're innocent, but you're taking this for us. You're the King. And he makes that simple declaration. And Jesus turns to him and doesn't just say like, "Yeah, we'll see. Maybe. If I have a moment." You're definitely on the low end of the list because we got a lot better people that are for sure going to be in before you. "I will consider your life and I will make a determination at that time whether or not you enter heaven." You're actually going to be in a waiting cell after I'm done with all this devil booty kicking stuff in hell, and then we will talk about whether or not I... No, none of that. You know what he says? He says, "Today, this is crazy. This is a massive sinner. This is somebody who maybe some of us in the room would wonder, does he deserve it?" But Jesus looks at him and says, "Today you're going to be with me." With me. What? What? How amazing is God? But this is the heart of God. To walk with us, to be with us, to invite us close. So thankful. Walk with God. The more you spend time with him, man, the more strength you're going to have in the middle of difficult times, right? Second thing is we got to focus on God's word. Focus on God's word. I imagine Noah in the boat would have had moments of questioning, but he would just continue to come back to, "What did God say? What did God say? What did God say? What did God tell me? I know God spoke. I know God said," right? And if we're gonna be able to hang on in the middle of difficult times, in storms or in seasons where it just feels like nothing is happening yet, now we've got to hang on to the Word of God. We got to stay close to God's Word, His written Word, and we got to stay close to the prophetic Word, the Holy Spirit that He speaks to us, right? And the Holy Spirit always sounds like the Bible. If you're wondering, how do I hear the Holy Spirit? Spend more time reading this. They sound exactly the same, because they are. It's literally the same voice. The voice of the Holy Spirit inspired the authors, and he still speaks to us today. He never contradicts his word. He always aligns himself with the word of God. And so as if I'm going to stay in faith, I've got to hang on to the word of God. I know oftentimes for me, what I will do is when God speaks, I make sure and write it down. When I feel God, you know, stirring something in me, I'm always going to write it down. When God does something, speaks something, declares something, whatever the situation is, I always make sure that I write it down, because there's going to be a time when I'm in the boat and it's day 4 and I'm wondering, is God going to do this? I'm wondering, is the rain really going to come? Is God who he says he was? Is his promises true? Is he really going to fulfill it? And I'm going to need something to remind me that yes. And you know what? That's his word. And I continually bring myself back to the Word of God. I continually hang on to His truth and into His Word. Man, nothing better. Get your life in God's Word. Spend time reading the Bible. Spend time hearing from God. Not because you're a better Christian if you do, but because you get to know Him. God doesn't love you more when you read it, but you realize how much He loves you, right? Like, throw out the rituals. You get to go to heaven if you never read the Bible. What? Yeah. But don't do that. Don't cheat yourself out. Don't cheat yourself out. Get into the Word. Allow it to get into you. It will change your life. It will transform every area of your thinking, your actions, your attitude. If you feel stuck in life, it may be because you're not applying enough of this into your life. It's the best book. It's the greatest self-help strategy. It's the greatest emotional transformation, physical, spiritual, everything. It's God's Word. Amen? Amen. Focus on God's Word. If you want to stay in the boat, you want to have that faithfulness, that consistency, even when you don't feel the rain yet, stay in there. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up and give the people some hope that I'm closing. Give them hope. I want to kind of close with this final story. It's another time in the Bible where somebody's waiting on rain. You got to know Noah's on his knees going, come on, God, do what you promised, send the rain. There's another time where somebody's waiting on rain. There was a drought in the land, and the prophet Elijah was called upon to do various things in that setting. But one of the things that he did is he prophesies in 1 Kings 18:41. It says that Elijah said to Ahab, who was the king, said, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain coming. Or the sound of an abundance of rain. He makes this declaration. He says, there's rain coming. Get ready. There's a rain coming. But guess what? There was no clouds. There was nothing happening. But the word of the Lord came forth, and God began to speak. And so, you know, a servant goes to tell the king that. But then Elijah and his assistant go to the mountain, and they begin to pray. They're praying for God to send the rain. They're believing for this word. They're believing for this drought to end. And they go and they begin to pray. And here's what happens in verse 43. Elijah, as he's praying, he tells his assistant, he says, go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. And then the servant came back and he said this, there is nothing there. There's nothing there. How many sometimes we feel like in our lives there's nothing there? What area of your life, finances, your health, your marriage, your family, emotionally, it feels like there's nothing there. It's like you're just, it feels empty. It feels like God has said something, but I don't see anything yet. There's nothing there. You're looking, you're praying, but nothing is there. Nothing's there. You wanted to have a child, but the doctors have said it's not going to work. Nothing is happening. Nothing's going to be potential. But they continue to look. Elijah says to the servant, seven times Elijah said, go back. Seven times. Noah, 7 days. Elijah, seven times. Hello. Go back. The seventh time the servant reported a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Man, I don't know what all you're facing. If you're in the middle of a dry season, if you're in the middle of a moment where you're in the boat and you're wondering, is the rain going to come? I feel like God has told me to come here with this word. I hear the sound of rain. Come on, I'm here to prophesy that rain is coming. I'm here to prophesy that God is speaking, God is doing, God is moving. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. Whatever you need, whatever you're facing, come on, stay in the boat. Come on, don't quit. Don't give up. I hear the sound of rain. I hear God speaking. I hear God intervening. I hear God showing up. Amen. Amen. Come on, God is able to do everything that he said he would do. He is more than able. Come on, church, would you stand with me to your feet? I want to close in prayer here for a couple things.
First, I want to just ask this question. If you're here this morning, and man, this word is for you. Maybe you're in the middle of something. You need strength to continue. Maybe you feel like, man, God, where's the rain? Where's your promises? You're right in the middle of that battle. You're fighting it through. You feel like you're on day 6 or 7 or 700 of being in that boat and waiting for rain, and you're trying to figure out, how do I stay in faith? Or you're battling through something. And you say, man, I need God to show up. I need a miracle. I need rain. If that's you, why don't you lift up your hand? I want to pray with some people here this morning. Awesome. Man, there's so many of us. Here's what I want you to do. Quickly get out of your seat. Make your way down to the front. Let me pray with you guys. Come on, let's pray for rain. I know you said it's not there, but look again. Come on, look again. Look again. He's faithful. Come on. Make your way down. There's so many squeezing in. Make sure there's enough space for everybody. And come on, if you're in your seat and this isn't specifically for you in this moment, extend hands forward. Begin to pray for those who are down here. We're going to believe for rain. We're going to believe for God's hand on their life in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that your favor is on them. I thank you, God, that you're sending rain in the name of Jesus. I hear the sound of rain. I hear the sound of rain that God is bringing. He is fulfilling his promises. He is more than able. Come on. He's more than able to do everything, that he promised in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, show yourself strong. Show yourself faithful on their behalf in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's worship. Come on, let's praise you.
Your glory.
Come on, send your rain, Father. Father, put your hand on those who are down here. God, that may be in the fire of their life, but God, you're faithful, you're able. God, I thank you, Lord, that you are giving clarity and vision and wisdom. God, that you're bringing healing to anyone who's sick in body. They've had a negative report. Man, one of the things I felt God show me is that some of you guys have had like a gavel, like it's a pronouncement of judgment or a pronouncement of some type of final sentence. But I just want to remind you today, Jesus wants you to say that he has a higher authority, that his pronouncements, his words are greater than any gavel that's been thrown down on your life, any indictment that's been thrown down on your life. God is able, God is faithful, and he will fulfill his promises to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Church, before I hand it over, I want to ask one final question with everybody's kind of head bowed and eyes closed. This is such a crucial question we all have to answer is, who are we following today? Have we made a decision yet to follow Jesus? Have we made that choice yet to make him the leader and the Lord of our life, to receive his grace to cover our sin? On the count of three, I'm going to ask anyone in the room, if maybe it's your first time making a decision to follow him, maybe you've been coming just for a short time, or this is even your first time, or maybe you've been coming for a while, and if you're honest about your life, you're really away from God. But today's your day to make a fresh start, to get back on track in your relationship with God. If it's any one of those situations, today's your moment, new start, new beginning. I want you on the count of three to lift up your hand. Let me pray with you. 1, 2, 3, lift up your hand. Come on. Awesome. Awesome. Who else am I praying for? Come on, lift it up nice and high. I want to see who I'm praying for. This is your moment of salvation. Come on, anybody else? Anybody else? Come on, down here or out in the seats. Come on. How good is God? He's so faithful. Right now, he's extending grace to you. Right now, he's extending mercy to you. Awesome. Fantastic. Anybody else? This is a moment. Don't leave here.
Don't leave here without making this right. Don't leave here without getting your sins forgiven, about having your relationship with Jesus restored again. Amen? Awesome. Here's what we're going to do. Those of you who raise your hand, we're going to pray together, all of us as a church, but especially those who raise your hand. I want you to pray this simple but heartfelt prayer with conviction and passion, because Jesus is going to meet you in this moment. He's going to forgive all your sins and meet you right here. Okay, so church, everyone pray this after me. Everyone say, Jesus, today I make a decision to follow you with all my heart. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and raising from the dead to give me life. I live for you in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's give it up for everyone who just made that decision. I know Pastor Drew's going to give some final instructions, but everyone specifically, today's that day of new beginning. Right over here to my left on the response lounge, I want you to meet us there. We got a book. We want to get into your hands. We want to pray with you. I want to personally meet you. I want to go over there as well. We're just so excited for this incredible beginning of the journey that God has for you.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.